I turn for our scripture tonight to 1 John chapter 5. And I'll read at verse 13. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Our purpose in praying is to receive an answer to our prayer. We pray to worship God. We pray to petition God on behalf of our needs. We pray to intercede in behalf of the needs of others. But the real purpose in praying is to see God's hand move in response to our petition and our intercession. To pray with no confidence that God hears and no confidence that God will answer is pointless. It's little better than a waste of time. So if we're going to do the work of prayer, we want to be assured that there will be fruits of our labor, so that we do not labor in vain. And in the last several times we have considered this matter of prayer, we have seen that there are certain conditions which God has imposed if he is to answer prayer. Not all prayer that is prayed is answered. I realize that many people say that God answers every prayer. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. But that doesn't include every situation, because there are times when God does not hear and consequently does not answer the prayer, and so the failure to receive is not a no. God ignored the prayer. Why? We didn't meet the conditions. And it's important we realize what those conditions are. May I remind you of those we've already seen. John chapter 16 and verse 24, our Lord said, whatsoever you will ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Prayer, in order to be answered, must be prayed in Jesus' name. And we observe by that that one must pray to the Father because of his position in Jesus Christ. Prayer is possible because of our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. And apart from that relationship, there can be no answered prayer. Prayer works only for believers. Then we saw in the second place, according to Romans 8:26, where Paul says, the Spirit himself helpeth our infirmity, that prayer must be energized or prompted by the Holy Spirit. We come tonight to a third condition to prayer. That is, that when we pray, we must pray according to his will. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. There is a very popular misconception. That misconception is that man is sovereign, and God is a servant subject to the authority of the individual, and that God will do anything he is told to do. But what a perverted concept of God that is. God is sovereign. God rules and overrules all things according to the counsel of his own will. God has predetermined the course of his action from before the creation of the world. All things are known unto God. And no individual can change the mind of God, can change the plan of God, can change the foreordained will of God. And the only prayer that God can answer is a prayer that sets him free to do what he has already determined to do. I realize that this is taking you through some deep theological water. But if you can't swim, get out your life jacket and let's launch out into the deep. It is a misconception, I repeat, to think that God has no plan and no purpose and is waiting for us to tell Him what's best for Him to do. When we look at the world around us, we might sometimes think that men are running it. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. May I remind you that God is sovereign. And He is working all things according to the counsel of His own will, and all things are moving according to His plan and purpose toward the fulfillment of that which is His will. And when a child of God asks God to do what God wants to do and already plans to do, God's hand is set free. Oftentimes it seems as though God predetermines what He will do and then waits until His child asks Him to do it before He does what He plans to do. And when a child of God presents to the ear of God a petition that is in harmony with the will of God, God's hand is moved. Therefore, in order for our prayer to be answered, we must learn or discover what God's will is. It is pointless to pray contrary to the will of God, and to be effectual in our prayer and to see fruits of our labor in prayer, we must discover what the will of God is. Now, it is at this point that we need help. For we, with our limited finite minds, cannot know what the will of God is in every instance and circumstance. We cannot discover what God's plan is for tomorrow or the days of the year ahead. We must depend on someone who knows what that plan is. Now, what I'm saying here overlaps with what we said in a previous study when we considered Romans 8:26, the Spirit helpeth our infirmity. And that which the assistance that the Spirit will give is help to know what God's will is in a given matter, so that we can ask according to the will of God. When we try to find the will of God all alone, we'll stumble and we will wander astray. We will have no assurance that what we are petitioning God is what He desires or delights to do. But when the Spirit of God reveals to our heart those things He wants us to pray for, and we present those petitions to God, we can be sure the Spirit will not prompt us to pray contrary to the will of God. So Spirit-directed praying will be in harmony with the will of God. I would like to illustrate this from what our Lord taught the disciples in John's Gospel in chapter 16 and verse 12. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear or assume the responsibility of them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now, while our Lord is speaking primarily here of an unfolding or revelation of truth from God, I think it includes within it the idea of the revelation of the will of God as well. As we take a step in obedience to the will of God, the Spirit will lead us in the next step in obedience to the will of God. The Spirit of God does not necessarily lay out for weeks or months or years ahead what His will is in any detail. He asks us to walk one step at a time. And it is the Spirit's responsibility to reveal the truth of God, to reveal the will of God that is inseparably united from the truth to the truth of God, and direct us in it. The Holy Spirit must direct. Oftentimes, people will come to the pastor, their pressing out of a morning service and say, Pastor, pray for me for this, pray for me for this, pray for me for this. And by the time the foyer is emptied, it'll be a long list of things that I've been asked to pray for. How do I know which one of those things are God's will and what God's will is in that matter? And I cannot pray for everything I'm asked to pray because it may be contrary to God's will. Or I may know not how to pray. And if Floyd Sewell had come to me and shared with me, as often businessmen do this pressing need, I would not have known how to pray for that financial need. And I couldn't have dared say, now, Lord, you move this bank, or Lord, you provide funds from this. I couldn't have told the Lord what to do. I could pray, Lord, meet his need. But I couldn't tell the Lord how to meet that need. Why not? Because the Holy Spirit hadn't revealed to me the channels that God was going to use to see that that need was met. And I couldn't pray intelligently because the Spirit did not reveal or would not reveal to me the specifics in that thing. And there would be no fruit of praying did I not pray prompted by the Spirit of God. The Spirit must direct the believer in his praying so that he has the assurance he is praying according to the will of God. Now, there's another point about discovering the will of God in prayer that I want to emphasize, and that is God's will is found in God's Word. God's Word is God's will. God's will is God's Word. And when a child of God searches the Scriptures and finds directive in the Scripture as to how he should pray, he can pray with confidence and assurance that he is praying according to God's will. God's will is revealed in the Word. And I do not believe that there can be any vital praying apart from a knowledge of the Word of God. Let me illustrate what I'm trying to say. We're faced with war and threats of war all over the globe. I don't know personally how to pray concerning the situation in Southeast Asia. I can petition the Lord, if it's His will, He will bring a cessation to hostility. But I don't know what God's will is for Southeast Asia and for our relationship and our involvement there. And I don't feel I have a directive from the Word of God to tell me. Another trouble spot is the Middle East. But I know exactly how to pray for the Middle East. Why? Because the Word of God tells me in Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. So there's no question, no doubt in my mind how I ought to pray about the crisis in the Middle East. Why? Because God has told us what He plans to do. He plans to bring Jerusalem to peace. And that which is contrary to the peace of Jerusalem would be contrary to the ultimate will of God. So when I pray for peace in the Middle East and the peace of Jerusalem, I'm praying according to the Word of God. And I can pray with the assurance that that prayer in God's own time will be answered. Let me illustrate this from the experience of Daniel. And I'll go back in Daniel's prophecy to the ninth chapter. Daniel chapter 9. And I'll begin reading at verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now, Daniel had been studying the prophecy of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah made it very clear, Jeremiah 25, verses 11 and 12, that the children of Israel would be captives in Babylon for 70 years. And Daniel reckoned the time from the captivity of Jerusalem, and he realized that the 70 years were now expiring. God had also made it very clear in the prophets that there could be no blessing for Israel until Israel confessed their sin and turned to God. And so Daniel had scripture on which to base his petition. He knew from scripture they were at the expiration of the 70 years. He knew that there could be no blessing for Israel unless Israel repented and turned to God, confessed their sin, and in faith claimed the fulfillment of God's promise. And so in verse 3 I read, I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. You read down through the first 19 verses and you find that Daniel is assuming the guilt of the nation as though it were his own. He's confessing that sin. He's claiming the fulfillment of God's promise. And he had the assurance that he was praying. Why? He knew he was praying in the will of God. It was God's will to terminate the Babylonian captivity. It was God's will to restore the nation back to the land. How did he know that? He'd searched the scriptures. And so when he prayed for those things, he knew he was praying according to the will of God. He knew that it was God's will for the nation to cast themselves in confession on his grace, receive forgiveness. And so he pled on the basis of confession for forgiveness of sin. On what basis did he do that? The word of God told him that that was God's will and that God would forgive the one. And as you are familiar with the history of the Old Testament, God caused an edict to go from the throne of the reigning monarch that gave the Jews permission to go back and to rebuild the city. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah were written to record the answer to Daniel's prayer. The people left Babylon. They came back and built the temple and eventually built the wall and rebuilt the city. Why? Because Daniel prayed. But on what basis did he pray? He prayed according to God's will as it was specifically revealed in the Word. We heard the testimony tonight of one who in his business life called on God to meet his need. On what basis did he do that? He had his finger on Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He was praying on a promise. And when one can put his finger on a promise, he knows he is praying according to the will of God. He prays according to the Word. And he prays according to the will of God. And that kind of prayer is answered. I believe then that a secret to answered prayer is to claim a specific promise of the Word in regard to that need. Then it is not presumption to hold God to the fulfillment of his promise. You're praying then according to the will of God and the Word of God. And I think if one would pray and meet this requirement, if any man ask according to my will, the way to do that is to recognize the need that you have, or that need about which you're praying, and then search the scriptures until you find what God says about that particular thing, until he gives you a promise that you can claim. And then you go to God, as it were, and say, God, this is my need. Now look, here's what you said. And tell God, remind God what he promised. And hold God to his promise, and God cannot lie. He must do that which he promised. That's praying according to God's will. Now, along with this, I would like to put in here Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. And at first it may seem as to you as though this does not relate, but I believe so. Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you, said Christ, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Now here our Lord said that in order for prayer to be answered, two should agree on it. Now, does that mean I can't pray alone? No, not at all. I can. But I think here's the point. It is often difficult for one individual to discover the will of God. But when two people or three people give their minds to a problem, they together can often discover the will of God when one person can't. That's especially true if I'm involved in a situation. I can't look at it and be objective about it and even see how some of the promises fit. So I don't know what promises to claim. I don't know what God's will is. So I share that request with you. And you, because you can look at it more objectively, can see what scriptures fit. See how we can pray together. And I may say to you, will you pray so and so for me? You will say, now, I don't think that's the way we ought to pray. I think it would be better for us to pray this way. I would say, well, you're right. I hadn't thought of it that way. And as the two put their minds together, they can discover the will of God. And so I think that the two praying does not have to do with praying longer or praying louder, but they discover what the will of God is by giving their minds together to the problem about which there is prayer. Our Lord's word here is very tender to me. And let me read verse 19 literally. If any two of you shall be like a symphony, be like a symphony. And the word that is translated agree is the word that was used of getting a large number of instruments to play in perfect harmony. If two of you will be in tune, or just like a symphony, agree with touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Often we have to distinguish God's wish from God's will in determining the will of God. 2 Peter 3:9, Peter says, it's not God's, my English text says, will that any should perish. The word translated there is a word which is a wish, the expression of the emotion. God loved the world, but not all the world will be saved. It is the expression of God's emotion that the world might be saved. But it is the expression of God's will that certain ones should be saved. How can I distinguish between God's wish, God's will? For if I pray for the wrong people, they will never be saved. And here we must come again to the Word of God. We must be attentive to the prompting of the Spirit of God with the assurance that the Spirit of God will not misdirect in the one for whom we should pray and for that for which we should pray. Another illustration of this is found in this matter of physical healing. There are some who say, it is not God's will that any man should ever be sick. Therefore, all sickness is contrary to the will of God. That's a nice thought. Just doesn't happen to be biblically true, that's all. On the basis of that position, which is contrary to the word of God, they demand that God heal every man. And so they'll put up their tents and have their great healing campaigns and rake in the money and move on. We've got to distinguish between God's wish and God's will. God uses sickness for discipline. Uses it to teach us. He uses it to display His glory, to reveal His power. We endure that in His name, and so on. And when I go into a sick room, I cannot pray automatically, Lord, you raise this one up, bring them through this surgery without any pain or without any fever or anything else. I can't pray that way. Why not? Because the Word of God doesn't give me the right to. And when I come into the sick room, I have to be quiet and say, now, Lord, how do you want me to pray for this sick one? And if the Spirit tells me to pray for a quick and easy and sure recovery, that's the way I pray. But if the Spirit prompts me to pray that the Lord's will be done and that we'll be submissive to His will, I have to pray that way. You see, I don't know what the Lord's will is in each individual thing, but I have to be sensitive to the promises of the Word and the direction of the Spirit. And have to be in agreement with others who feel this is the way we should pray. Then I have the confidence that I am praying according to His will. I think it's important then, when we come to pray, we ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to pray? Now here's the thing, and I don't know what to ask you, so Lord, before I ask anything, I'm going to be quiet before you for a moment. And I'm going to let you tell me how to pray. And then when the Spirit tells me how to pray, I pray. And I can claim the promise that I'm praying according to His will. And if I can't tell how I ought to pray, I'll take some brother in Christ, someone else who's sensitive to the Spirit, and ask him to join with me. And let's together seek the mind of the Lord, so that if two of you, when one can't, two of you will discover the Lord's direction as to how you ought to pray. And what I want you to see tonight is that in order to be effective and fruitful, our prayer must be according to His will. We can't find it ourselves, but the Word of God and the Spirit of God will direct us into His will so that our prayer might be answered. We pray, our Father, that God the Holy Spirit may interpret these truths to our minds so that we who spend time in prayer shall pray effectively and see our prayer answered because we ask according to the Word and the will of God. Dismiss us now with the riches of Thy grace and mercy and peace upon us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.